Hey, everybody. Welcome inside to the Green 19 podcast. I'm Ryan Wood, alongside our columnist and colleague, partner, Tom Silverstein.
Whatever I am.
Many, many titles.
Yeah.
And many, many wins now stacked up for this Green Bay Packers team. Six straight after that debacle in the opener, which is kind of just it, more and more just the anomaly of this season. But they're 6-1 now, and it's like Alan Lazarda said after the game. Not a lot of people are in that locker room are very satisfied with this win. It was not a dominant win, but it was an easy win. I think it was probably along the lines of what we expected. I expected 2-touchdown win, easy, not maybe all that crisp. That's what 24-10 was. It was easy, not all that crisp. But here's what it really was, and it's going to be hard to avoid the topic in this podcast because it loomed over today. But it was taking care of business so they can get to the next game.
Yeah, it was. I think it sort of played out exactly how I thought it would play out, which is that it was a game they would win by hook or crook and then get ready to have to play their best football of the year against arguably the best team in the NFC on the road with 3 days rest. So, yeah, you did. If you're the Packers, you did whatever you could do to get by, and that's what they did.
Preston Smith didn't play today. It was the first time Preston Smith hasn't played a game in his career. His streak ends at 102. He very much wanted to play. He was out there practicing Friday. He was giving it a go as best he could with that oblique, but he couldn't get there. And Matt LaFleur said after the game, you know what? Be lying if I said it didn't have anything to do with the fact that Arizona is coming up. There's no question that the Packers are embarking on what very possibly could be the toughest task right now in the NFL, going to Arizona on a short week, a cross-country flight, not another NFC West opponent. I mean, they're going across the country, prime time. And if you're looking at this game through that lens, I think one thing that stands out is Taylor Heinicke. 10 carries, 10 scrambles, 95 yards today, 38 was his long. It's like Matt LaFleur said after the game, that's going to be a huge point of emphasis because if Taylor Heinicke is instead Kyler Murray, Kyler Murray will kill you with his legs, and they've got to figure that out.
Yeah. First, regarding Preston Smith, I mean, we kind of talked about that on Thursday, that, you know, push come to shove, they're not going to play him.
No.
You know, same with Kevin King. Not when they need him for a Thursday game. And so unless he was really 100%, I don't think there was any way they were going to play him. And they certainly, the same was with Kevin King. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts both guys are there on Thursday. Both guys are active.
I bet so too. You know, Preston Smith did have the tweet today, and I can't in good faith say all of what he said. But he said basically he's going to go something sentimental, but forget it. He the streak is over. Preston Smith really cared about that streak.
Yeah.
He really cared.
He really did.
It was important to him.
I guess I understand that. I mean, how many guys played that long? You know, 102 straight games. You know, and all, I mean, his first year he started only 2 games, but every game after, you know, every season after that, he was a 16-game starter. So, yeah, totally get it. But, hey, he's got bigger fish to fry, you know, than that personal record. But getting back to what you were talking about with Kyler Murray. So, you know, I'm not sure how to look at it because Kyler Murray is sort of like Justin Fields. He's a quarterback who runs to pass, not runs to run. And, I mean, if you look at his stats, he's run like 37 times, but he averages like 3.1 yards a carry. So he's... Where he's really dangerous is getting out of the pocket and then throwing. So if you look at it in that lens, they probably did a pretty good job with Heinicke from that standpoint. He couldn't escape left or right. The only way he could escape was forward. So we'll see whether that really applies, but they just got to keep him in the pocket.
The Packers rushed Taylor Heinicke very similar to how they rushed Justin Fields, and how I'm sure they're going to rush Kyler Murray, which is, you know, push the pocket, don't get out of your rush lanes. How much do you think Preston Smith not being on the field had something to do with anything to do with Taylor Heinicke going off for almost 100 rushing yards?
That's a good question. I sort of feel like Heinicke knew when the best time to rush was. You know, I asked Rodgers about that. Like, when do you know that the field's going to split like the Red Sea? And he basically said, you know, it's sort of a matchup league. Everybody tries to match up, even in zone coverages, but mostly in man. And oftentimes, if those routes are all outside or deep, man, you know, the middle just opens. And it opened for Rodgers, too, a couple times. So I don't know if it would have made a difference to have Smith. I think with Murray, they just cannot let that opening, you know, go. Because he would have scored on that one that Heinicke ran. How many yards did he run?
38 yards.
Yeah. I mean, it looked like it was 70 yards. He was running for so long. Murray probably scores on that. So they can't let him do that.
You know, Washington, and this has nothing to do with the Packers, just a thought I have. Washington's in a very peculiar place because Taylor Heinicke played a lot better than I didn't give him much credit going into today, and he played pretty well. He had one really bad throw in the end zone where Chandon Sullivan picked him off. But as a whole, I mean, he had a 158.3 passer rating through the first quarter. He had almost 100 yards with his legs. He played really well, and yet, you know, you can do a lot worse than Taylor Heinicke in this league. You can do a lot better, and the Packers are about to see a lot better in Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes and maybe Russell Wilson. Matthew Stafford's coming up. Lamar Jackson's coming up. There is a lot better, but there's a lot worse, too. It's interesting to see. Washington's got a lot of good pieces. It's just the quarterback, it's not bad. Taylor Heinicke's not bad. Knew a lot worse, but he's just so middle of the road.
Yeah, you know, and they have just an absolute gem of a wide receiver in Terry McLaurin. It's too bad that he doesn't have a quarterback who can get him the ball whenever. I mean, he's almost Davante Adams-esque. Not quite, but you know, so you play who you play. There's nothing you can do about who it is. They will get matched up, as you just pointed out, against some of the best quarterbacks in the league, and then we'll find out whether they're any good. I think, you know, if you can pass rush, you can pass rush. And you know, Washington was missing two guys off its offensive line, but just about everybody's missing somebody off their offensive line. So I'm not gonna take that away from Rashawn Gary. He had a heck of a game. He was really muscling his way to the quarterback and could have used some more help. But that would have been a big thing if Preston Smith would have been there. Who knows how many sacks they would have had. So anyway, they needed that, and they needed the turnovers.
And they got that in one play from Rashawn Gary with the strip sack early in the third quarter and right out of the locker room. And four quarterback hits. He's got 15 now on the season. He came in with 11, which was fifth most in the NFL. And you just felt like Rashawn Gary's knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door. He had 11 quarterback hits and 1.5 sacks coming. That is a big disparity. Mm-hmm. He's going to get there eventually. And finally, he does erupt for two sacks, the four quarterback hits. They're going to need more of that from Rashawn Gary, but if he can make that consistent and not just a one-week thing, if that can be consistent, that goes a long, long way for this defensive front that's trying to overcome and replace maybe Za'Darius Smith, obviously trying to replace Preston Smith today. It's just I wonder if – do you see his game leveling out to that point?
Well, here's the thing that I really see is that Joe Barry, again, remains – his scheme is really to stop the run and to keep everything bottled from going outside. And you see that in the early goings, they're not getting any rush on anybody. You know, it's 4-on-5, whatever. And then you get into the late game when Washington's trailing, and all of a sudden you see all this pressure. You see these guys being freed up to go up the field and go after the quarterback. And so I wonder how much the scheme holds them back in the early part of the game, because they're trying to keep a team from running the ball. They didn't do a very good job in early downs, you know, stopping the run. They gave up a lot of rushing yards. But so maybe they should have gone after Heinicke anyways, you know, let let those guys loose a little bit.
Yeah, Antonio Gibson, they kept in check the most with 14 carries, 51 yards. But McKissick got loose for a couple. Carter had the 27-yarder. And, you know, a lot of the rushing yards today was Taylor Heinicke. So, the run defense wasn't great.
It just seemed like first down was not good. Like, the rest of the time, it was good. But it always seemed like Washington was facing second and six, second and five, you know, something like that.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this, talking about the run game and Taylor Heinicke and running. Taylor Heinicke, tell me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Taylor Heinicke scored two touchdowns today on consecutive plays and got credit from neither of them. True or false?
That's true.
I mean, what is...
The second one, I understand the call. The first one, I don't get that call at all. That's a touchdown. I don't know how you can say he's giving himself up. He dove because someone was going to hit him, and he should be able to roll all the way into the end zone if he has to.
And first of all, Packers fans, do not stop listening, because you know full well that if Taylor Heinicke was wearing an Aaron Rodgers jersey on those two plays, you'd be crying that's a touchdown too. You know full well, be honest, look yourself in the mirror, and be honest with yourself. You know exactly that you would be saying the same thing. But here's the NFL in 2021. For a decade now, I haven't known what a catch is. For a few years, I haven't known what a PI is, and now I have no idea what a touchdown is. No clue.
Yeah, so the one on the goal line that Devondre Campbell stripped him, I don't know if he had his knees on the ground or if his knees were on top of a player.
Sure didn't look like the knees were on the ground. I mean, he was pretty high elevated on the pile, on top of bodies.
He was, but when he made his second lunge, I don't know if his knees went down, because I kind of looked there to see if I could see his knees.
You could.
And you could see they were pretty low. But that's where you have to rely on the officials. I mean, they got to make sure. You got how many of the officials on the – I don't even know how many there are anymore.
But it sure looked like a touchdown.
Some light, you know, one of those guys has got to be able to see whether the guy had his knees down or not. I don't know. I know they got robbed of one touchdown. That's for sure.
The
second one wouldn't have mattered. So that's all we need to talk about.
Well, and here's the thing is that was the Packers defense's first red zone stop of the season. They had been a flawless, and I do mean flawless, 15 of 15 allowing touchdowns to opponents anytime the opponent got into the red zone this season until that play, until that drive. And then they just went on a flurry of them. They had the next drive I didn't get a good look at the fumble recovery. Was that a good call on Darnell Sanders?
It was a good call because I got a really good – I happened to have my computer in front of me with the game going, and the ball squirted right under his hip or under his oblique, and 73 just ripped it right out. So I think that was a good call. I thought that was a very good call.
And then obviously the Chandon Sullivan interception in the end zone. But that was some way to, a little bit of a gift there, but some way to finally get a red zone stop.
Well, his coverage is good. You know, it was a back shoulder throw, and he was there. He was ready.
That was, yes. Yeah, I'm talking about the Taylor Heinicke touchdown that didn't count. But look, you know, all in all, Washington left a lot of points on the board today. It was remarkable. Washington put on a clinic in how not to score the football, and Arizona's scoring the football. That Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, they're getting in the end zone. So they got to shore it up.
I think they're still getting in the end zone. They were playing. They were up like 35-3. And they're going to just keep scoring. That team is really loaded. So that's going to be – this is not even a comparison. You know, this game is not a comparison to what they're going to face. What you have to do is take out individual parts here, which was Gary rushing. You got a couple of really nice rushes from Kingsley Kiki. Whitney Mercilus got in a few plays. Devondre Campbell continues to just be unbelievable. And I think Rasul Douglas played pretty well. And Stokes bounced back after giving up that touchdown. So, that's about all you can judge on these guys.
13 tackles, 2 forced fumbles for Devondre Campbell. Unbelievable is the right word. He's just been a stud. When's the last time you saw an inside linebacker on the Packers as good as Devondre Campbell's been through these 7 games? I'm going to say Clay Matthews circa like 2014.
Yeah,
15,
he was kind of like that. Yeah,
but he wasn't really an inside. I'm talking like a guy that was like brought here to be an inside linebacker. It's not just a superstar in the league that you move whatever like Clay Matthews was.
Closest would be maybe Desmond Bishop, but I don't think he could cover as well as Campbell, not as all around. I mean, he was a thumper. I mean, he could blow people up. Overall, he kind of reminds me, and this is going way back, but he sort of reminds me of Ted Hendricks when he came here for like a year, and long arms, just making plays all over the place. And he's just got a knack for being in the right place at the right time.
You mentioned Eric Stokes. The knock on him in college is that he does not play the football well enough in air, and that was the definition of that touchdown.
Great
coverage, great position against Terry McLaurin, and kind of a stunning touchdown because you see a corner in that kind of position, and you don't expect the ball to be caught, but it just kind of went past his ear hole, never turned his head, never played the ball. But to Eric Stokes' credit, and that was college Eric Stokes, to his credit, he had the 4th-and-3, it was, mm-hmm. on the other side of the field later in the game, and Taylor Heineke's throw was a bit late, and that probably helped. But he had a nice PBU. He did play the football, kind of wagged his finger at the sideline. I thought that was an impressive bounce back for a rookie going against a receiver like that.
It was.
To give up a score like that and then come back and make a play on it.
I still have a question. Why was Eric Stokes one-on-one with Terry McLaurin down the middle of the field? Is that really supposed to happen?
That's a great question.
I mean, where I got to look at that play, but I can't imagine that was the defense call. That, you know, and I think they did blitz. Didn't Jalen Smith
almost blitz? Got a sack on the play too.
Yeah, so maybe he was. Maybe that was the way it was designed. But you know, anybody one on one of McLaurin, that's, you're in danger of getting beat, and he did.
I wonder if we're going to see a lot more linebacker blitzes from Jalen Smith, who has the speed, doesn't really take on blocks well, then that's how you use him, right? That's what you do with the guy. I thought that was a pretty clever way to use him. And he almost got home. He needed to get home because obviously it was a touchdown. But
he did. He just got clipped by the back, just barely. You know, he actually beat the block of the back, but the back got just enough that he couldn't finish it. I don't know. Maybe sort of. It'll be interesting to see if they kind of use him like Campbell, like maybe outside, and he can take a few rushes outside. Or maybe he's a guy who needs to get a running start and get in there. But, yeah, that was another use of him.
One of those individual things that stood out from this game on the other side of the ball, look, Davante Adams was Davante Adams again. And at this point, bare minimum standard for Davante Adams is 6 catches, 76 yards, touchdown, which was a ridiculous play. I think that was the most incredible play that Rodgers has made this season, was when he scrambled to his right. And I have no – it was Farvian, except that he actually didn't throw it to the other team. He somehow found Davante Adams completely across the field, broke every rule in quarterbacking, wide open. I didn't see him. I don't know how Rodgers did.
If it was Favre, he would have thrown it all the way across the other field into the corner of the end zone, and it either meant a touchdown or an interception. But it was a really nice play.
Kind of like the Aaron – I didn't cover far, but kind of like the Aaron Rodgers play at TCF Bank Stadium to Richard Rodgers on the 1-yard touchdown that went 40 yards.
Yeah,
you remember that?
Yeah.
No, I know exactly. Yeah. But it was – for me, it was the most impressive play that Rodgers had made this season. But that, you know, Davante Adams – doing Davante Adams things. He didn't go off. He didn't have 200 yards like he did 2 weeks ago in Cincinnati. But it was a Davante Adams game. The difference, Alan Lazard, 5 catches for 60 yards and a touchdown. All in one drive.
That was crazy.
And it was maybe the most important drive of the game because it's 7-7 at the time. And they need to get a drive before halftime, especially with Washington getting the ball. And I don't know what possessed Alan Lazard on that drive, but he goes 5 catches, 60 yards. He had not had more than 5 catches in a game this season. He had not had 60 yards in a game this season. It was only his second touchdown of the season. And I think even bigger than Alan Lazard, especially because it was spread out over the course of the game and not one drive, Robert Tonyan, 4 catches, 63 yards, the 20-yard touchdown, and the 25-yarder on the 3rd and 4 that put him into field goal range and was able to kind of set the score a little bit at 24-7. It ended up being 24-10. They've needed to get Robert Tonyan involved for a long time. And is there any coincidence, Spoon, that second game back for Elgton Jenkins, Robert Tonyan is able to get more production in the passing game, maybe not staying in more?
Could be. And I also think kind of Washington, the way they played their defense, were kind of susceptible up the middle. But that's if they're going to play two shell, then those are the plays that Robert Tonyan should be making. So, yeah, I think that probably was the case. They did let him do a little more one-on-one blocking. Tonyan has to be a factor. If they're going to be a really good offense, he's got to be involved. But this is the kind of stat sheet I think they want more than, you know, the one with Devontae Adams with 208 yards or whatever it was.
They're going to need that when they get to the teeth of their schedule. Yeah. I mean, this is something that they've got to continue. And I do think getting Marquez Valdes-Scantling back is going to help that significantly, because he is solidly the number two receiver of this team, and he's the deep threat, and he's the guy that stretches the field and all those things.
Funny, I didn't think about him once today. Not once. Because Lazard and Tonyan, and I wasn't even, you know, usually you're like, boy, they could use someone who could stretch the field. And I didn't think about that once today.
Well, Robert Tonyan stretched the field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that 25-yarder was, and he said on the play, he thought he was going to get smoked. He found a soft spot in the zone, and he was able to settle down and catch a fairly easy reception. Red zone offense was obviously better today. They were more efficient. And what have we said for the past few weeks? That the issue with this slumping red zone offense, a year ago, Devontae Adams and Robert Tonyan tie single-season franchise records for touchdowns at their position, at receiver and tight end, in the same season. 29 touchdowns combined, 18 for Devontae Adams, 11 for Robert Tonyan, and 21 of those were in the red zone. This season going in, they'd had, what, like three? So the difference in the red zone today, 17 gets a 17-yard touchdown, 85 gets a 20-yard touchdown. Those are two red zone touchdowns. First time this season they both scored in the same game. And they need scoring plays from those two, and they got them today.
Yeah, that was huge. And it was interesting that on Tonyan's touchdown, LaFleur said that Adams was wide open on a double move that he wished he didn't call, because he wasted a double move from Devontae Adams.
But I think he was too. I saw the play. I don't know if he saw the replay.
No,
he toasted Kendall Fuller up the left sideline and just left him. He was wide open for a touchdown.
I'm like, you know what? But throw it to Tonyan. You know, throw the guy a bone once in a while. You know, I think that was a smart move to do that.
I took two things from that. One, that's exactly what happens when you play single high and near the red zone on Devontae Adams. He's going to get wide open.
Yeah.
And that's what the Washington defense was in single high. And also, I thought it was significant that instead of throwing it to the left side of the field to his favorite receiver, Aaron Rodgers did throw it to Robert Tonyan. Mm-hmm. I thought that was significant that he went that side. You saw in Robert Tunyon's reaction, he went ballistic. And yeah, for good reason. I mean, it'd been four straight games, no touchdowns, only one all season, hadn't been in the end zone since week two. For a guy that just had a breakout, it was building up a little bit on him.
He needed to be rewarded for that route, because that was a really good route. He was open for the touchdown, so that was good. But, you know, we got to get to this run game, because that was a disaster. You know, we've gone through a lot of good things, but, boy, the running game was just awful.
I guess you can wax on the running game all you want. I'm just not surprised. I think that the last 2 weeks – the Packers have found two defensive fronts in Chicago and Washington that they just can't throw whoever out there and have success against. Those are two really good defensive fronts. Washington's defensive front's very good. The Packers' offensive line obviously struggled, especially early in the game up front, yeah, giving up sacks. It looked like the Packers didn't – they knew that they couldn't run the ball on Washington, so they weren't really wanting to try all that much, and they just put it in Aaron Rodgers' hands and let him sling it around the yard without giving much effort in the run game. That's how I saw it.
I saw it that way, too. I thought if they ran, it was a token run to try to self-play action later. They couldn't move those guys. And I think they're going to It'll be interesting to see what they do when Bakhtiari comes back, because I think Royce Newman has taken kind of a step back. I think he's struggled. He struggles with the stunts and twists. And, you know, maybe they put Runyon on the right side because, you know, your right side, you want a big run blocking guy, and then they put Jenkins at left guard. I don't know.
Something to ask Matt LaFleur about, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, right. We'll see. I think they'll keep it as is till Bakhtiari. I don't think Bakhtiari is coming back this week.
No way.
Maybe Kansas City.
I think it just comes down to how many practices he can get.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they're going to practice early in Kansas City week.
I mean, they're not even practicing this week,
yeah.
Really. He said they're just going to do walkthroughs. So, yeah, no way is Bakhtiari playing this week.
Not this week. I don't know that he'll even play against Kansas City. Maybe the week after.
Yeah, true.
I just, you know, they're going to sacrifice a game in late October for the long-term longevity, not just this season, but even longer, of David Bakhtiari.
Yeah. And you
know
what?
Easy call.
That Kansas City game doesn't look as tough as it did a month ago.
Sure doesn't.
Kansas City, I mean, they lost to Tennessee. Tennessee is awful. Awful. They have the worst defense in the league. And what did they score, like 7 points or something like that? I mean, I don't know what's wrong with Kansas City.
It's weird, and that's maybe a conversation for another time, but it is very, very weird what has happened with Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, he had the injury today. Did he come back in that game?
Yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't get to follow the games. I'll go home and watch, you know, the replays after this.
We'll know by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah, exactly. You know more than we do right
at this
now.
Moment. But, I think the big takeaway from the run game was just they knew their offensive line in the trenches was no real match for that Washington defensive front, and they also knew that Washington secondary can't exactly cover, and so they didn't need to run the football.
Yeah, and that Washington front is really good. They've been underperforming, but they were really good today.
Here's the other thing, too. They're going to need to run the football, probably starting this week.
They have to. Yeah.
And they've been running the football, too. Three straight games now that they've had at least 129 rushing yards combined from Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. So it's not like they have not been running the football.
And they ran it against the good Bears team.
They did.
Albeit, you know, Hicks went out and Goldman was kind of banged up, but they still had Roquan Smith and Mack and Quinn.
Here's another thing, too. How much do you think the short week played a factor in, you know, let's not get our running backs killed against this defensive line going into Arizona?
Well, that's possible.
Because they didn't really try to run that much. I mean, 15 carries on the day, only 12 carries to running backs. Aaron Jones had 6. That was the most. A.J. Dillon and Kylan Hill, who got some run, not surprisingly, because I think that they wanted to spread the carries out. They
Then Dillon fumbled twice.
He sure did.
And he did not see the field after that.
But Kylan Hill's first carry came on the third snap of the game.
Yeah,
I think that was part of the plan, was to get him some more.
It was. They talked about that. And they did that, not the Chicago game, but the game before that. The Dillon thing is concerning.
It is.
Because you can't keep putting the ball on the ground once, okay. Twice, not good.
And that's in one game. So, you know, it's something that he's, the second year back, is going to have to correct. You know, Aaron Jones has had some fumbling issues early in the season, too. So
yeah,
it's not just A.J. Dillon. That's about all there is to say about the offense today. Just a very workmanlike day, really, on both sides of the ball. You know what was not perfect? They had a field goal block. That field goal operation continues to be a concern. But pretty darn good and at times spectacular today with the Packers special teams. And Matt LaFleur said he thought the story of the game was the special teams. T.J. Slayton, first field goal block since Detone Jones on October 11th, 2015, against the then St. Louis Rams, I should say. I remember that game. I think Quentin Rollins had like a pair of pick sixes in that game or something.
I remember he had one, yeah.
Yeah, maybe he had 2 interceptions, 1 pick six or something like that. It's been a minute. That was a rookie Quentin Rollins, too. So T.J. Slayton, first field goal block in 6 years. And my goodness, Corey Bohorquez. You know how you had a man crush on Jack Heflin?
Yeah, I know.
In training camp. I have a man crush on Corey Bohorquez. I love good punting. It is so much fun. And we are to the point where we're kind of getting spoiled. At least I am. I'm getting a little spoiled because Corey Bohorquez's first punt today was a perfectly placed punt to the sideline, the right sideline, for 49 yards and a fair catch. EQ St. Brown did a really good job as a gunner covering on that play, but it was a perfect punt, and it was underwhelming. It was disappointing. I wanted to see more. Hmm. I was left wanting more. And so what Corey Bohorquez does is later in the game, from his end zone, he pops a 53-yarder to flip field.
Nearly blocked.
Fair catch. Nearly blocked by two guys. By two guys in his face. 53 yards, fair catch. And as if that wasn't enough, it's the second straight week.
Okay, calm down a little bit.
I'm excited.
Calm down.
Good punting.
It's a punter.
I love good punting. It's the second straight week I've seen a punt that I've never seen before. The 82-yarder against the Bears. And it was like Wimbledon for Corey Bohorquez to put the ball, like, you know at Wimbledon, when is it an ace, is it a fault? You got to really zoom into the line. Let's see where the mark is on the grass. That putt that he had near the goal, I don't know how close, like 3 inches. And it takes the perfect bounce backwards to the 3-yard line. I've never seen a punt like that.
Yeah, and I'm going to give a little love to St. Brown, too, because a lot of guys would have tried to grab that or try to make a play on it, and he smartly saw that it was going to be close to the goal line, and so don't step over the goal line and touch it, and it's a touchback. So it was, I mean, a beautiful punt, of course, and then smart play by St. Brown on that. Yeah, they have a weapon with Bohorquez. There's no question about it. Now, on the blog, people are, I think they're just serially against special teams in Green Bay. They just automatic, it doesn't matter if it was a good play or a bad play, special teams stinks. I think their special teams wasn't bad today. I think he's right. DeAndre Carter is a darn good returner for Washington. And they held him to 25 yards per kick and held him with no returns on punts. That's pretty good.
It is. It is. Yeah.
The block field goal, we'll see. I think Crosby hit it low.
Do you think that's what it was, and it wasn't John Running getting pulverized off the snap?
I think it was low. I also think it was a bad snap. I want to go back and look at it, but I think Bohorquez had to spin it again. Every time he has to spin it a lot, it seems like it screws Crosby up.
You know, that might be the one knock on Corey Bohorquez, or I should put it this way. The one thing keeping Corey Bohorquez from being the undisputed best player on this team is his holding.
Except I'm not sure that's his fault. I think that's Hunter Bradley's fault.
He's had some adventures as a holder, though.
Really?
I think so. And I don't know how much of that is inserting. First and foremost, the block against Pittsburgh that should have stood, what did they say after the game? Corey Bohorquez didn't vary his snap count. He was getting too predictable.
Yeah.
So it's the one knock on him is, you know, other than that, Corey Bohorquez is the best player on this team. Don't at me. Nope, best player on this team. Aaron Rodgers, really good quarterback, reigning MVP. Devontae Adams, best receiver in the world. Corey Bohorquez, best player on this team. I love good punting.
I think Equanimeous St. Brown will rise to the top eventually.
Well,
he's been my guy all year.
Equanimeous St. Brown is kind of the Devontae Adams to Corey Bohorquez's Aaron Rodgers. Every great player needs – every batting man needs a Robin.
Okay. Yeah,
EQ
that's a good point.
Is the Robin there.
That's a good point.
All right. Yeah. So, big picture, though, in all seriousness, it'll be interesting to see if this Packers special teams can not just – get everything right, because it's still a game where they didn't. But if they can actually build on this, because there were some really good moments for a unit that, hey, it's been a minute since they've had really good moments in the game.
Yeah, and that's an area. As I wrote in my column, their defense is not going to be the defense that everybody wants it to be. It's not going to be Tampa Bay, and it's not going to be Buffalo, and it's not going to be Cleveland. You got to accept what it is. Without Za'Darius Smith, without Jair Alexander, even with those guys, it's not the same kind of defense. You know, the Packers haven't been picking number 10 or number 7 every year like Tampa Bay was for a bunch of years, or Buffalo. So they don't have a whole bunch of those studs. But accept them for what they are and hold them accountable to get to the quarterback and get some turnovers. That's what they need to do. And if they can just keep setting up their offense with decent field position, then they're doing their job.
You know what? We're about to see what kind of defense this is.
Yeah, we are.
Short week to Arizona, and that starts the gauntlet of quarterbacks that's coming up for this team. Make sure you stick to PackersNews.com for full coverage of today's win, 6 straight, 6-1, 24-10 over Washington. But just as, if not more exciting and more intriguing going forward, they took care of business today. Now the big week, Arizona undefeated on the road, primetime cross-country flight. We'll have full coverage at PackersNews.com. Until then, thank you so much for listening, everybody. He's Tom. I'm Ryan. We'll catch you later.